I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On Saturday, we play the Vikings. What I want to see is our guys just go out and see who can go play when the lights are on. Like, guys do it sometimes in practice and the lights come on. Sometimes you see guys show up even better in the game, and some guys don't show up as well. So I just want to see who shows up when it's game time. I've seen them practice now for several weeks, and I'm pretty sure I know what guys are capable of doing, but sometimes you always have those guys who surprise you in preseason game, and that's the exciting part about preseason, seeing those young guys right shine bright when they get their moment. So I'm looking for guys to go out and have fun, execute, but most importantly, like, just play for each other and finish the game the right way.
All right, so there you go. I don't know if they finished the game the right way. I would say of all the things D'Amico said, that was D'Amico Ryans from Thursday, if you're wondering the future tense that he's talking about the preseason game with. I played that because I wanted to reestablish what he was looking for in that Vikings game and then see which guys here, Seth, lived up to what D'Amico was looking for, which is, hey, when the lights go on, who are the guys that perform really well? So we'll do some winners and losers here. They didn't finish the game very well. That'll play into losers. The fourth quarter was not great. Sorry, Graham Mertz. This is what comes with being an NFL football player.
I think having six guys out of the game on the defensive line played into some of that as well, because Even some of the guys that were starting in this game might have been playing in the third or fourth quarter of a normal preseason game.
Yep.
There were some guys out there that just weren't giving a classic Texans defensive line production.
I would say that's accurate, yes. So let's do winners and losers from Saturday. You know, who are the guys that, just as D'Amico described, when the lights went on, they played really well. And a lot of these guys are battling for spots on this roster. Braxton Berrios is one of them. He's winner number one. He was the only guy for the Texans to get into the end zone. Here's what it sounded like.
First down at the 14. Mills boots out to the left. Mills looking, throwing. Got a man across the 10. And to the pylon. And touchdown. Braxton Berrios, catch and run for six. What a way to cap the drive.
That was nice, man. That was a little play action to the right side, boot back to the left, and Braxton Berrios putting his head down and going for the pylon.
There's an element there, too, of because the Texans' offensive line was playing physically on that drive, they made it look like run. The outside linebacker got duped. That poor bastard. And he was just stuck out in space watching Braxton Berrios run by. And that physical play to get into the end zone was really impressive. I think two guys on that drive, guys who are smaller but showed that they're very swarm-like, are Jalen Noel, who could have easily been wrapped up because Blake Fisher missed the block. Could have been wrapped up for a 2 or 3 yard gain,
yep,
broke that tackle and got a first down. And then Braxton Berrios getting into the end zone. That was impressed by two smaller guys making some physical plays on that drive.
Yeah, really, really good. Three catches, 33 yards, and a touchdown for Braxton Berrios, who was our guest on the postgame show. He joined us on the postgame show, myself and Clint Sterner. And Clint asked him about Nick Caley and how he's fitting in the offense. We should point out, and I think Braxton points this out, he and Kaylee have a history. Braxton Berrios was actually drafted by the Patriots back in, I think, 2021 when Kaylee was an assistant on the staff there.
Oh, I mean, I first of all, he's a great coach that everybody wants to play for. We met each other my rookie year out in New England where he was the tight ends coach. And so I've known him really my whole career. And, you know, he's very, very highly intelligent. He knows what he wants and, you know, his system, he's easy to communicate with. And, he makes learning it very easy. I mean, he's been awesome, as an OC and, you know, everybody is really rallying around him. And, you know, you kind of saw again with that first drive, you know, what, you know, the very tip of what he's capable of. And so it's going to be a fun year.
Braxton Berrios, if you looked at Braxton Berrios just after that preseason game alone and you asked, hey, which team originally drafted him? You're like, oh, yeah, that dude.
Small white
That's a Bill
wide receiver.
Belichick special yeah. right there. Yeah. I try not to be swayed too much by this, but I do love seeing veteran players play with a huge amount of enthusiasm in the preseason.
Yeah.
Because you can tell a little bit about the professionalism of a guy where how much they really get into a preseason game. And Berrios, he's a guy who's fighting for a roster spot mm-hmm. because this wide receivers room is just so deep right now and competitive. And you've got two rookies. I mean, having two top three round rookies in the room makes it really tough, especially when they're looking really good so far during mm-hmm. training camp. But he just went out there and he was playing like he was a rookie trying to make the squad. And I liked seeing that.
It's good to see. Here was D'Amico Ryans on Braxton Berrios.
Braxton has done it a long time in this league. He finds a way to get open. He made a lot of nice catches for us today. You know, also in the return game, he's very experienced, and you see that experience shows up in game time. So excited to see him continue to grow. And he started off really hot, so excited to see where he transcends.
Yeah, Braxton. And Mechie had a good game, too. Mechie had five. He was our leading receiver in this game.
He did, yeah. Yeah, Mechie is a guy that you start to wonder. We had these conversations last year, but there might be some kind of a trade at the end of training camp if Mechie doesn't make the team. I think he's shown enough that there's other teams out there that are probably intrigued by Mechie.
Him being in the fourth quarter felt like a showcasing thing to me. Maybe yeah. I'm reading too much into it. Maybe he's also battling for a roster spot, which is what guys in the fourth quarter of a preseason game are in mm-hmm. for as well. But that's how I'm viewing Mechie now, Seth, is I'm viewing him as with every catch that he gets in the preseason, I'm hoping that, okay, maybe it's not a sixth rounder for Mechie. Maybe it's a fifth rounder for Mechie right. that they get. That's kind of the thing.
Other weird reply I get on social media that always confuses me. I'll say, hey, they might trade Mechie. And somebody will be like, well, it's not like you're going to get a first round pick for him.
Right.
Right. Yeah. There's other things you can trade.
I need you to bring me in. When you see these people, come get me.
Come get you. Because yeah. I try not to mix
you
it
don't
up
wanna,
anymore.
Yeah, come get me.
I hold back. I'm like, I don't need to get into arguments on Twitter that
come
end up taking
me.
45 minutes of my day. I'll waste 45 minutes of your time.
That's fine. I can take time away from telling Minnesota how ratchet their baseball team is for giving us Carlos Correa. Yeah.
One big loser from the preseason game, though, by the way, is the play-by-play announcer for the Vikings. When you go and watch on NFL.com, you have to watch the Vikings TV copy.
Yeah.
And I don't know who he was, but I don't – like, Braxton Berrios isn't a huge name, but I feel like he's a name enough that the announcer shouldn't be calling him Braxton Berrios the whole time.
Right.
Miami.
I don't expect
you to know his career stats or anything necessarily, but it's a pretty notable name. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
A play-by-play announcer especially should know that it might be more fun to say it, Berrios, but it's Berrios.
It's Berrios.
My God.
Yep. All right. Winner number two. One was Braxton Berrios. Winner number two. You mentioned him in the previous segment, Seth. EJ Speed. Here was one highlight from EJ Speed, a little TFL action.
Second and two from the Houston 40. McCarthy, offset eye, stands up, taps the helmet. McCarthy boots out to the right. Quick throw. He's got Ham, the fullback, but he's ripped down for a loss. Good stop there for the Houston Texans by EJ Speed, the former Colt. So they lose yardage on the play, and it's going to create a third and about four.
EJ Speed was not just making play. Like, he had big energy, man. He had a pass breakup, couple of tackles. He had that TFL you just heard. I think he had another one that was a big hit there.
He had a big hit. In the second drive.
Yeah.
And the big thing was he did a good job. With EJ Speed, he's always come up and made really nice plays in the run game. It's in pass coverage. He hasn't been as good. I thought he didn't have any – huge challenges, but he sorted everything out really well. He was able to make that play because he read that play that he just made. He was able to see that J.J. McCarthy, the rookie, well, basically a rookie quarterback, did not execute the fake well at all. So E.J. Speed was on it. E.J. could tell that it wasn't run immediately when it was out on the running back. He did. It's not just his athleticism. You know, we're watching to see, okay, does he really start to sort things out on the coverage side of things? Because he has the physical ability to be really good in coverage.
Yep, he was really good. But if you buy into PFF scores, which I semi-buy into them, he was their best player. He had their best grade. 92.1. He was the best player for the Texans, according to that metric. Davis Mills, winner number three. Here was Davis Mills after the game. Davis Mills, of course, led the team on a 10-play drive to open the Texans' offense. The Vikings got the ball first in this game. And the Texans, down 3-0, drove down, got a touchdown on a 10-play drive that was led by Davis Mills, who went 4-for-5 on that drive. Here was Davis after the game saying, I had a lot of fun out there.
It was a lot of fun out there. Can't really replicate live action in practice. We do as much as we can, scrimmage and move the ball periods in practice, but it's a lot of fun getting back out there with your teammates, going against some guys you don't see every day. So I thought, I mean, obviously only had that one drive at the start, but I thought the offensive line did a great job in protection, and especially in the run game, ran the ball hard, and my guys were getting open out on the edge, and I was able to deliver it.
Davis had a good camp.
He's had a good camp. The ball was coming out really quick. That was one other notable thing where you try not to read into it too much. It's just a preseason game, but it does seem like the two big points of emphasis just based on that game and some of the things I've seen in camp are, hey, we got to get the ball out quickly. You can set up the deep ball with the run, but you can also set up the deep ball with a quick game and making those linebackers and safeties be honest. And I thought Davis did a really good job getting the ball out quickly. And then seeing the field, including on that misfire to Cade Stover. And like, I'm at this point, that might have been as simple as Cade Stover needed to extend that route a little bit more. Yeah, like, who knows? We saw something similar happen with C.J. Stroud and Dalton Schultz in the scrimmage last Thursday. But so whether that was Davis or on Cade Stover, the plan worked. Mm-hmm. Like, they were springing guys open with the scheme, which was good to see. And it's just preseason, take it with a grain of salt. But compared to last year's preseason, it's night and day. The execution is just so much better across the board in all those position groups.
Yep. So those are the winners. Before we get to losers, couple texts, as long as we're talking about these guys. Text message, am I the only person that wasn't surprised by EJ Speed? I thought he was supposed to be pretty good. Here's the thing. You know who's probably surprised by EJ Speed? The other 31 teams in the NFL that didn't give him a contract as a free agent. He's on a 1-year maximum $5 million deal. Like, he played a lot of snaps for the Colts, but he has holes in his game.
He's a classic. I think because he was a divisional opponent, you remember a lot of the big plays that he's made, because he does make spectacular plays. He's very athletic. He's very aggressive. A lot of his bigger plays are in the run game. In terms of being a complete and total linebacker, he's still a bit unfinished because he was a special teams guy for his first few years before he worked his way into a starting role. So, no, you shouldn't be surprised that he's making plays. The big question is just, all right, does he become more of a complete linebacker? Mm-hmm. And they're going to use him this year. Like, his playmaking ability is obvious. Does he become more of a full-time guy? Is he a guy that they use situationally? However they use him, he's going to make an impact. Dude, it's just what is his complete and total upside?
Some of these rooms, man, the decisions. I mean, Jamal Hill had a good game on Saturday. And he might not make the team. You know, like, it's that there's already five or six linebackers that are really that are serviceable on this team.
You looked at some of those guys and how they contribute on special teams. Neiman, the linebacker, was signed as a guy
for that.
He's only been a special teams guy. But he made some good plays at linebacker. You know, Chris Hansen, they love Chris Hansen.
There are a lot of guys.
Chris Hansen was a college teammate of mine. So there's a lot of guys out there that they like, but special teams might be the deciding factor.
Might be. All right, losers for this game. I got three winners, three losers, and Blake Fisher just needs to step it up. There's just no two ways about it. If you buy into PFF scores, once again, if I'm going to give out the ones at the front end of it, like EJ Speed at 92.1, it's a scale of 0 to 100. Blake Fisher was the worst player on the team over the weekend. He was 29.3 in the run blocking grade and a 32.8 in pass blocking. That is putrid.
It meets the eyeball test, whatever the PFF grade was. And I don't know if he was dealing with an injury in the offseason or something, but he just athletically in training camp, he doesn't look strong. He's not. A lot of these other offensive linemen, I think, are playing with better technique. I don't really see evidence of it with Blake Fisher improving over last year. I feel like – I think George Karlaftis might have broken him, Sean.
Yeah.
I think George Blake Fisher got George Karlaftis paid.
Yeah.
That was Karlaftis' big performance before the Super Bowl was that.
Yep.
And, I don't know what to make of it right now. Juice Scruggs did some good things in the game, but he also – he didn't look good at the second level. The former second round offensive lineman right now, I don't feel awesome about them.
Yeah. To me, the two biggest signs that Blake Fisher is fighting for his life here are, one, to my recollection, Seth, I don't think he's taken one snap with C.J. Stroud in the preseason, like in any of the padded practices or anything. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong on that, but if he has, it is sparse. The other thing is he was playing in this game until late in the third quarter. Like, Ariante Irsery was one and done as far as series go, and he's a rookie. Blake Fisher's still in there with the twos and the threes at the end of the third quarter of this thing.
I don't know. I was watching an offensive line drill during training camp in West Virginia, yeah. And it's a relatively basic drill where he's just drive blocking versus a guy with a pad, and his feet were just narrow, just high school stuff. I don't know.
Loser number two, Graham Mertz. Three interceptions in the fourth quarter in his debut. And I guess as I go back and think about them, Seth, because you gave Davis a bit of a pass for the overthrow against or with Cade Stover at the goal line and the Dalton Schultz play in practice with CJ. The first interception, it looked like Xavier Johnson was in the area. Like, he kind of threw behind him. I don't know, like that. The second one, he just looked like he sailed it. Like, there was nobody near. And then the third one was a tipped ball that got intercepted. Either way, regardless of how you come by them, three interceptions in one quarter, you will wind up on the loser's list for that game. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I think people have asked over and over again, and understandably so, why did you draft him anyway?
Why'd you use a six-round pick on Graham Mertz?
And I think a lot of it was he was coming off of an injury last year, and I think Caserio just simply at that point in the draft felt like, well, there's upside here. And if you go back to New England when Tom Brady was there, the Patriots tended to draft a quarterback just about every other year.
Yeah.
They're going to keep drafting quarterbacks. So whatever they liked about – I'm not going to – In terms of splitting hairs when it comes down to which quarterback you draft in the sixth or seventh round, good luck. But the philosophy of drafting a quarterback or using a pick on a quarterback, it's a sixth-round pick. Caserio thinks there's upside there, and he's probably going to draft a quarterback about once every other year with the Texans because it's the most valuable position in sports. And when you happen to get a lucky roll of the dice, then it can mean good things for your team.
Yep. Last one, third loser. The production, the KTRK, the Channel 13 elements of the production. And let me be very clear, I'm not talking about any of the actual voices on there. I enjoyed Kevin Kugler and John Harris and Andy Kalu. I love those guys. I think they did a great job on the game. I thought Shelby Coppedge did a good job on sidelines. She got handed kind of a, like if there were a sideline reporter Olympics, this would probably be an event. Like, hey, you got handed the quarterback for a sideline interview, but A, he's not paying attention half the time because he's watching the offense.
Because he's actually paying attention to the team. Yeah, I love that.
To the team. Then they go to commercial in the middle of the, like, she gets like two questions in with CJ, and then they're going to commercial. So she's like, well, we'll do more when we come back. They come back from commercial. They're like, okay, now Shelby is going to interview Jalen Petrie while the offense is on the field, or while the defense is on the field. When the offense is on the field for the Texans, she's going to interview Jalen Petrie. And once the defense is back out there, she'll interview CJ. She doesn't even get to Jalen Petrie, and all of a sudden, I think Graham Mertz threw one of his interceptions, and the defense is right back on the field. So she can't interview CJ. So she goes to she's talking to Petrie, and then CJ just never showed up again. I felt bad for Shelby Coppedge, but I thought she did a great job with it. Here's my issue. Here's my glitch with the production. Whoever was running the down and distance in the first quarter was either had vertigo or was drunk. Like, they were putting up second and 11 when it's first and 10. It's a short yardage and they've got it as long. Like, it was, I'm like, am I, Did I just miss that? Did I miss a play? I've been watching this game. That was number one. Number two, when they had that review of the touchdown that Minnesota scored that got overturned, they scored on the very next play. But they were, instead of showing the replay of the play that was being reviewed, they just showed the referee staring into that little box the whole time. I'm like, can we see the play? I don't care to look at the guy who's reviewing it. I want to see the play he is reviewing. So these are the little things that you get when it's a local NFL broadcast as opposed to...
That's like Harry Houdini's showmanship back in the day.
Okay.
Back when people were really dumb, they weren't skeptical enough. They would put him in a water tank, and then they would close the curtain, and then the curtain would be closed for 5 minutes. and then they would open the curtain, and he'd get out. Yeah, like, oh, what could have been going on behind the curtain? I don't know. I thought he was drowning. I didn't think anything about.
Okay.
I'm kind of glad that the interviews went the way they did.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of other Texans fans loved that CJ stopped pretty much mid-sentence in the middle of an answer because a play was about to be run.
It was kind
of
cool.
A lot of people being interviewed in baseball booths could take a hint, all right? Just shut your yap every now and then when there's a home run or something or a big play in the field being executed. Just shut your damn yap.
That's true.
I don't want to hear about the upcoming bobbleheads.
Yeah. It was funny. Like, CJ's attention span. I love that he was, you know, still – kind of looking back out there at stuff going on. So those are the it was hard to find losers for the game. You know, I wasn't going to dig into the third string defense allowing a bunch of stuff in you know what would in an NFL game be garbage time. But there you go, three winners and three losers. All right,
want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans. Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You ready to acknowledge some people, Seth C. Payne?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. We do it every Monday at about this time, 7:20-ish. We acknowledge the big performances from over the weekend across all sports, not just Texans. In fact, those are the extent of the Texans acknowledgments that we just did there. This will be all Astros and other stuff here that we're going to get to. Let's start with Carlos Correa. We welcome him home tonight. In the meantime, he's already played in 9 games for the Astros. And if you're a Twins fan and you're tracking Carlos Correa, then I would imagine you're a little upset that he decided that it would be, once he got back with the Astros, to start to have a 405 batting average, a 1098 OPS, couple of home runs. And Seth, he had a play yesterday. Like, the hitting stats are great. I don't expect Carlos to stay in this neighborhood when it comes to being a hitter. I do expect him to be a viable middle-of-the-order bat when the postseason rolls around. But when Jason Alexander got into trouble in the sixth inning, where, you know, he started giving up some hits, he had no-hit them through. In fact, let's acknowledge Jason Alexander while we're at it. 5 no-hit innings, 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. The double play that they turned to close out the sixth, where Carlos moved to his left and was, you know, had to throw the ball. I can't remember if he moved to his left or right. I just knew he had to throw the ball to second base from a very contorted body position and threw a missile to second, and they get the double play to end the inning. And I'm like, that is why you trade a single A reliever to the Twins for Carlos Correa and let the poverty Twins pick up $33 million of the tab. That's why you do it, for plays like that, to keep the Yankees at bay in a, you know, in a game where they that's a base hit, all of a sudden a couple runs are scoring, and we're singing a different tune down the stretch in this game.
Yeah, let's acknowledge the Twins for paying for that production too.
Yeah, that was nice of them to do. That was very nice. Appreciate that. Jose Altuve, he was great again this weekend. He's been great against the Yankees. My favorite was on Friday. Shout out to Tyler Milner for pulling this highlight that we saw in our email on Friday night. This is the Yankee broadcast where they were in the midst of not being able to turn the page for the umpteenth year in a row. They're talking about the sign stealing scandal, and Altuve interrupts them in classic Altuve fashion.
And they have that whole scandal on top of it all. But Jose Altuve will always remember New York. And this one into the left field corner is gone.
Man, you don't want to wake up a sleeping giant. And he lives for these type of moments.
Who's your daddy now? Should I say the Astros?
That's right. He ain't sleeping, man. Sleeping giant. He had the best batting average in baseball in July, you idiot.
Jeez. A sleeping giant.
Whatever.
I love the dynamic of Yankees fans urging other Yankees fans to stop booing Altuve.
Yeah.
It's funny. There is, honestly, when you're on the road, it's fun to get booed. You do. If you feel you get to play the heel in WWE. Mm-hmm. It's nice. Now, Altuve he's probably not wired as much like other guys who might really enjoy being booed on the road.
Yeah.
But it doesn't affect you the way you think it's going to affect anybody. No. Nobody on the road expects, like, oh, I can't believe they're not cheering for me.
Right.
Why wouldn't they be cheering for me?
Right.
So getting booed on the road feels as good as getting cheered at home.
Yeah.
The only time booing affects an athlete is when you're booed at home.
Yep.
That's where you're like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
I thought you were my friend.
That's mean.
What do all of this literally love me stuff? What happened to that?
So,
keep booing him.
Yeah.
It's not going to do any harm. If anything, it gives you a little bit of boost, especially when you've got a proven track record of shutting up the boos.
No, I love it.
I feel like it did also. Correa didn't get booed after that first home run on Friday, I think specifically because of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about this one? I'm going to give the rare second acknowledgement to Jose Altuve. Courtesy of Chandler Rome, Jose Altuve hit his 250th career home run in the first inning. So his home run on Sunday was his 250th of his career. He needs one more double for 450. When he hits that double, he will be the 11th player in Major League Baseball history with 250 home runs, 300 stolen bases, and 450 doubles. That list includes 3 former Astros, Bobby Abreu, Craig Biggio, and Carlos Beltran. They are 3 of the 11 on that list right now. 3 of the 10 currently. Altuve will be the 11th when he hits a double tonight against the Red Sox.
And, you know, Altuve is probably already a Hall of Famer if he retired after this season. But cementing it, especially given, you know, various things that might keep people from voting him in the first ballot or whatever. I think the performances against the Yankees are especially helpful because they tend to just be higher profile, more viewed. It's often in the ALCS, which is nice. So I really, and again, Altuve would never do this, But it would be nice of him in a Hall of Fame induction ceremony to tip his cap to the Yankees for helping him get there.
Oh, see, that's the just, thing. If he were the classic WWE heel, he would do that. But to your point, he doesn't have the personality traits WWE heel.
He would never do that.
He would never.
If anything, it would be a genuine acknowledgement of him crediting his opponents for making him work that much harder.
Yeah. Does he have just one?
Come on, Altuve.
Does he have
get together.
Just one little sentence in him about the Yankees for a Hall of Fame speech. That's
a little
all.
Bit of snark, man.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Hey, real quick, just to close the book. On the Astros this weekend. Astros bullpen on Friday came in and cleaned up the mess for Hunter Brown. And Hunter was decent. 5 1/3, gave up 2 runs, left the game tied 2-2. Bennett Souza, who's been a little up and down of late, and he was not good yesterday. They had to take him out yesterday. The bullpen got you 4 2/3 shutout innings, no earned runs. Not shutout innings, because Hader gave up that run in the 10th, but those aren't earned runs because of the ghost runner. But no earned runs over 4 2/3 innings. Souza, in particular, stranded those 2 runners, gave you another inning, a couple of strikeouts. So, I'm acknowledging the bullpen. We haven't acknowledged the bullpen in a while. They haven't been as dominant as they were early in the year, but they still pretty damn good, and they were pretty good this weekend in that instance. All right, Cam Little, kicker for the Jags, kicked a 70-yard field goal. He's a rookie kicker out of Arkansas. In the preseason game they played this weekend, I think against the Steelers, I'm pretty sure. Here's what it sounded like. Cam Little, this is what a 70-yard field goal sounds like.
He drilled the ball.
Holy smokes. They got a shot.
He just kicked a 70-yard field goal. Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
I've never seen that. The NFL record. That would be an NFL record.
This is the end of the first half. Holy smokes.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, that is the holy smokes is Bucky Brooks. I know that. I'm not sure who the play-by-play guy is for the Jags preseason games.
I think it's Frank Frangie.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that was a TV feed. So that was
that's a radio guy. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know who it is.
Yeah, so either way, it's courtesy of Jacksonville's local broadcast for their preseason game. But yeah, hey, Magnificent Gladstone, while you're sitting here touting how Travis Hunter is going to change the game. By the way, Travis Hunter played 18 snaps in that game, missed a tackle on defense, had a couple catches for 9 yards on offense, didn't do much. I'm not saying that as shade. I'm just giving it out as information. Your kicker might be the one that transforms the game. You might be the first team to start attempting field goals in your own territory because of this this Cam Little.
They're redefining expectations.
Yes.
And they're redefining paradigms, whatever they want to. They're revolutionizing the game football is what they're doing. But not just football, life in general, everybody.
You are keeping, for those who don't know, Seth is keeping track in his Gladstone glossary on our rundown, all of the Gladstone terms. We haven't peeked our heads in on a Gladstone presser in a while, but this mode of operation and singular touch point of Cam Little is absolutely intangibly rich to me, Seth.
Oh, Brian Sexton is the TV announcer. Okay. I know Brian very well. Okay. I love Brian, yes.
He's good.
I'm just glad that he gets to live in an era when he gets to cover kicks like this.
Oh my God, the things he's
nothing more exciting. Sure, you might have questions about your quarterback.
Right.
Sure. You're not sure if your head coach is actually a 13-year-old. You don't know any of these things yet.
Yep.
You don't know if Travis Hunter is actually going to have his body completely intact by week 3 because they want to play him 120 snaps a game. But you have a kicker who can go boom.
70 yards. 70 mm-hmm. yards in his sleep, man. I love that you chose week 3 because that's when the Texans play the Jags. That's an interesting question. Like, is Travis Hunter, by the time they play the Texans in week 3, still going to be playing both ways with any sort of significant role?
Both ways in this game.
He did.
He how many total snaps did
18
he have?
18 total snaps.
Okay. Yeah,
I think he's going to play more in the regular season.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
I'd guess.
The way they're talking.
Yep.
I'd say, I wonder if there's going to be odds on that. Total number of snaps played by Travis Hunter.
There'll be odds on it. It'll be on Prize Picks and all the daily fantasy stuff. I guarantee you it will be 100%. Let's cross over into a little bit of history here. Jim Lovell, of course, the astronaut, the famous astronaut from Apollo 13, played by Tom Hanks in the feature film, passed away this weekend in Lake Forest, Illinois, at the age of 97, but this is obviously a Houston-related story because of the NASA ties to it. And, of course, it's interesting. The film Apollo 13 would tell you that that it was Jim Lovell who first said this.
What did you do?
Nothing. I stirred the tanks.
Whoa.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
All right.
Yeah.
So that was Tom Hanks. Now,
never heard that before.
Yeah.
I've certainly never heard it 879,000 times.
This is an acknowledgement of Jim Lovell. I'm not going to blame him for starting a lame meme or cliche. The truth is, you probably already knew this, Seth, but I Googled it yesterday because I knew there was a bit of a glitch with it. It was actually Jack Swigert, played by Kevin Bacon, who first said, "Houston, we've had a problem." They didn't hear him the first time, and then Jim Lovell said, "Houston, we have a problem."
Yeah.
Yeah.
We discussed this a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you and I did?
Maybe you were out.
I might have been out.
We discussed it.
I don't remember discussing it. Yeah.
And it was ultimately that whole story about Houston, we've had a problem becomes, a great moment in American history.
Mm-hmm.
Because what'd you do? You figured out a way to, with a bunch of guys in mission control, threw some scraps of stuff on the table and helped talk them through how to calculate this stuff with a slide rule up in a capsule, and they got home safely.
While battling pneumonia because the heater went out too. Yeah.
Every time some jackass says Houston, we have a problem, misquoting those astronauts in a dicey situation, I'm like, yeah, cool, bring it on. Yeah, that's what Houston did. They figured it out.
We solved problems. Right? Yeah. We solve problems. Hey, did you want to wish Marv Levy a happy birthday, too?
100th birthday. 100th
birthday. Yeah, dude. Give him two, Ben. Give him two acknowledgments. One for each 50 years he's been on the planet. 100 years
just
old.
Just everybody, let go of the hatred over a potential, maybe how you feel about a playoff comeback or something back in the day.
Yeah.
The guy in a lot of ways, there's a lot of the D'Amico Ryans in him, kind of operating in a different, didn't quite buy into all of the machismo and everything about being a head football coach.
Yeah.
D'Amico does it with a lot more energy and a lot more verve, I think, than Marv Levy did, but they're kind of wired similarly.
So by my calculations, then, if he just turned 100, that playoff game was in 1993 where the Bills came back against the Oilers. That's 32 years ago. And I know it's his birthday. I know it's August and that was January, whatever. But roughly 32 years ago is when that game took place, which means he was in his late 60s at that time. I don't want to throw shade when we're acknowledging somebody for making it to 100. Marv Levy looked older than 68 years old in those years he was coaching the Bills. He looked like he was 80 years old. He probably still looks the same at 100. They always say with some guys, like, that guy always looks like he's 35. I think Marv Levy is the human being that always looks like he's 80. You know, he's looked like he was 80 when he was 50. Probably looks like he's 80 when he just turned 100.
People are aging a lot differently now, though, too.
That's my
point. Because people are just, usually a lot of people that age well are also doing more of an exercise regimen.
Totally, dude.
And what have you.
Yes, yeah.
So he, but I think he was still working in the Bills front office until he was into his 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a productive later stage of life.
He's a great one, man. Marv Levy. Hey, can I do a quick acknowledgement for the station? Because I wasn't here to bask in the afterglow of our Marconi nomination on Friday.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you weren't there. Yeah.
I wasn't here. I just basked on social media instead. Acknowledging Sports Radio 610. If you haven't heard, maybe you were out traveling, you didn't listen on Friday. Nominated for a Marconi Award for Station of the Year. We're finalists, along with WIP in Philadelphia, The Ticket in Detroit, The Sports Hub in Boston. All of those are former winners of this thing.
Yeah.
And then 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, who if we lose to, Seth is going to lose his mind, I'm guessing.
I don't know. If we lose to a bunch of inbred hicks who can barely spell their own names, I don't know if I'll get over that one.
Yeah.
It's nice to be nominated, but ultimately you just want to not lose to the Tennessee, Tennessee station.
That's it. It's like the AFC South. That's what it is. Congrats to everybody up here. It is a group effort, 100%. And, we are thankful for all of you, the listeners and sponsors and everybody else who made that possible. It's a huge honor. First Houston sports station, I believe. I know it's the first time our station's been nominated for it. So it's a big deal. So we're very thankful for that. All right. Those are the acknowledgments for this Monday. A lot of good stuff there. All right. Let's circle over a couple stories from week one of the NFL preseason I want to get to. Trust me, nothing heavy or schematic, but we've got to get to a couple of these. As we get out, top of the hour, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris will take over with some Texans talk on Texans radio for a couple hours. And then In the Loop, The Drive, Area 45. Happy to be back in on a Monday here on Sports Radio 610.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And Seth and I have fun conversations during the break, and we were talking about kind of like poverty ways we used to try to generate money in college so we could buy beer and things like that. I used to sell my books. Oh God, my dad listens to the show. I used to sell like the books that you could get a lot back for at the bookstore, the hardbound books.
Yeah.
I would sell those halfway through the semester sometimes. You get 50, 60 bucks for those.
Because you had read ahead, right?
Yeah.
You had
read ahead. I photocopied every page.
Had everything you needed to know. Yeah.
No, I did not.
The biggest one for me was I when I was a junior, a couple of the seniors on the football team, good dudes. But not as good as I thought they were. Awesome dudes. And they're, look, you know, you can say whatever you want about Ivy League schools or whatever. On the football team, at least, we had a lot of guys that were on Pell Grants and, like, kind of, like, grew up working their butts off and everything. Like, blue-collar guys.
Yep.
And so one of my friends who was always, he was working, like, going to school, working a job, playing football. And he and another friend of mine said, "Hey, Seth, I'm going to listen, we're gonna clue you in on something that's been passed down year to year, and it's a really good and easy money making scheme that you can take over when we're gone." So apparently, seniors had been passing this down to a select junior or two for years, and I was like, "Okay, cool. What is it?" He's like, "All right, well, here's the thing. You gotta meet us at 5:30 a.m. on Sunday, and out front of their fraternity." I'm like, "All right, cool. I can do that." And I jump in their car, in their pickup, and this was the money-making scheme, was going around to all the fraternities that had parties the night before.
Oh, no.
And grabbing the empty kegs.
The deposit?
Going to take them back for the deposit,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I didn't want to seem ungrateful, but I don't have that in me. I'd love to say it's morality, but maybe more so it's more that I'm chicken. I don't know. So I kind of politely sat there really nervous, dude. I'm not good at breaking the law. I am not good at, and I just kind of sweated out for a couple hours while they executed their scheme.
Okay, I have three things here. A, that's phenomenal. B, how much did you get for each keg?
I can't remember. It had to have been, I'm just trying to adjust for inflation.
This is back in like 1995, 96 in that range.
I bet it was $20.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And they got like eight kegs.
Yeah.
Like they didn't go to a lot of places. There was the Cornell fraternities are huge because they don't have any dorms for non-freshmen. So they're like, they have big parties. And so it was easy.
Okay.
And I couldn't do it. I passed it off to somebody
else. You did?
Else.
Okay, because that was my third question. At that point, you were a junior. They were seniors. Did you have any inkling that you would become a potential NFL draft pick at that point? Because this would have been a very silly crime.
Can you imagine?
To jeopardize your future NFL career. If you had already gotten some sort of feedback that, hey, I might be a draft pick next year.
If I'd gotten
busted. Yeah, let's go steal some kegs for $20 a piece.
Plus at Cornell, it's easy to bully the other students too. There's almost an element of like, you got two big football players show up.
Right?
There could be three guys having breakfast, and you'd be like, hey, we're taking your kids.
Okay. Just don't take me.
Have fun with your engineering degree and out-earning me.
Hilarious.
I couldn't know. No, dude, I was sweating so hard. Yeah. I was so uncomfortable the whole time.
Yeah.
But I respected these guys. They were my elders. And I just, no, there was not a chance in hell I was ever going to do it, whether I had an NFL career or not.
Yeah, no, you're a good person. That's why.
They weren't bad guys. They were just a little mischievousness.
Yeah, but you're a good person, though.
They had convinced themselves that they deserved that keg money more than those rich kids did.
Did you?
It was usually the rich. It was the rich fraternities that they would steal from.
Oh,
Sean.
Okay. You're like basically Robin Hood at that point.
Yeah, and then they probably donated it to a good cause.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Did you see the Tom Brady statue this weekend?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Did the head look a little small to you like it did to me?
The first picture, yeah, it looked like from one of those movies where there's cannibals who shrink the heads of their enemies.
Yes,
all the,
yes.
I think that guy in Beetlejuice is what it looked like.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, let me try to find some other angles of this. Because the picture that was really circulating, it looked like Tom Brady had a tiny, tiny head.
Yeah.
I don't think his head was as... I think that was more because of the vantage point of the photographer.
The angle, yeah.
Yeah, I looked at other angles and the head wasn't, the head looked proportional.
Okay.
The problem was, it just wasn't that flattering of a statue in general.
No, no.
Like, Tom Brady isn't built like a rock or anything, but when they tried to make him out of rock, he somehow looked even less made out of rock.
I thought it looked like they screwed the head of a 13-year-old onto the body of like a defensive lineman from the Raiders in like 1970.
They started lifting weights.
Yeah, like just
big guy.
A big dude with a blob body. They should have just stuck a cigarette in his mouth and gotten it over with, you know?
It's one of the greatest, you know, we have Dan Pastorina to thank for this to a certain degree. It's the flak jacket.
Yeah.
The flak jacket, it's hard to, even if Cam Newton, even if you got a body like Cam Newton, when you take it out of context and get rid of all of the coloring of the uniform and everything else like that, it just kind of looks like a frumpy bod.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And that's where Brady didn't have an awesome body or anything, but he didn't look frumpy like that statue looked.
If he wants to talk about the TB12 program, he can't show that statue to anybody. Like, oh, really? You were a really good football player? Did they build a statue for you? Why, yes, here it is. Okay, that's the body I'm going to get if I do this TB12 program you gave me here?
I would have given the artist artistic license to eliminate the flak jacket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just get rid of that. Whatever the sculpting version is of Photoshop.
Shred him up, man.
Sculpt shop that.
Sculpt shop. All right. Here was Tom Brady. Did a little speech. They unveiled it at the Patriots game against the Commanders, the preseason game. Maybe we'll play this for the Pettycast again tomorrow, but let's play it here. A little joke about Jets fans.
But in the end, this statue isn't just for Pats fans. It'll also give all the Jets fans something to throw their beers at as they leave the stadium every year. Probably in the second quarter. Maybe the third.
All right. I know Tom Brady dominated the Jets. Here's the thing, Tom. I don't know if you've been paying attention to your team since you left.
Uh-huh.
Y'all pick very high in the draft these days. You picked third 2 years ago. You picked fourth this past year. You're not much better, if better at all, than the Jets right now.
Right.
You know, you are talking trash on behalf of the 2025 New England Patriots, not the 2014 New England Patriots.
Those Jets versus Patriots battles this year, I'm kind of looking forward to, though, because they got a couple of head coaches that are – old school type of coach. Like,
gonna be fun.
Dudes. Yeah. Vrabel and Aaron Glenn are no nonsense. They are just hardcore. I think there are going to be some bloody battles. They might be defensive battles more so than anything else compared to back in the day.
Indeed. All right, Seth, we're done. Antibodies to you. We're back for 4 hours tomorrow, my friend.
Antibodies to you. And if I ever commission a sculpture, I will be sure that they are not anatomically correct.
Yes, please. Yeah. If it's mine. Yeah. Yo, dude. Yeah.
I'll make them very inaccurate. You'll have yes.
Give me some traps. And some
I'll make
delts.
You look like Zach Thomas.
Oh, be beautiful. Yeah. Be beautiful. All right. We're done.
Zach Thomas, the linebacker, not the offensive guard, offensive lineman for the Texans.
Not the offensive lineman fumbling around for the Texans.
Yeah.
All right. We're done. We're out of time. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris are up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.